This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Come in, stay a while. The gang's all here. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin. Yours truly, Dan Patrick Show. Whether you were watching or not, plenty of players to root for in Major League Baseball, and credit the league for making them available on microphones last night during the All-Star Game. How can you not like Fernando Tatis Jr., Chris Bryant, Freddie Freeman? They had great sense of humors on display last night. Had an interview with Shohei Ohtani and translator. Angels star didn't really deliver on the field, even though pitched a scoreless inning. He got the win. But that constant smile, the fact that he was available, he was there for Home Run Derby. Some of the bright spots for Major League Baseball. And baseball has its fair share of critics, and a lot of it's fair. Style of play isn't ideal. We've seen enough strikeouts for an entire season already at the All-Star break. But the stars go a long way in defining a sport. If you look at the NBA, that almost seems to be the model that Major League Baseball is trying to emulate, and they should. Last night's All-Star game proved that they might be onto something. You have Tatis Jr., Vlad Guerrero Jr., you have Ohtani. You have some names here. At least names that resonate with younger fans, because that's what this is all about. We were sitting around here earlier today before the show, and we sounded like old men. I remember back in our day, we could name all the All-Stars. We could name the guys who were on the bench. Okay, it was really important to you back then. You didn't have as many distractions. You didn't have things like a job or a family. And they didn't know anything about girls at the time. And you know, maybe today's younger fan knows who these players are, all of these players. You're playing video games with them. We used to collect baseball cards. And I think it's easy to go back in our day. Okay, back in our day. But kids today, if you're going to sell the game to them, that's really what's important. What are they consuming? What are they interested in? What do they care about? Do they love bat flips? Do they love the style of Tatis Jr. or Vlad Guerrero Jr.? Are they into Shohei Ohtani? Like, these are all fascinating personalities for me. But if a younger audience, a younger generation is not consuming it, it's not great for the sport. If you look at the target demo, you know, of what Major League Baseball caters to, it's the oldest demo in the major sports. You know, you're looking at mid-50s as a baseball fan. Everybody wants the younger audience here. I think this was a really good week for Major League Baseball. You know, they've survived this spider tack, you know, with doctoring a baseball here. But you're able to have a showcase moment for Shohei Ohtani. And you get Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's 22 years of age. You got Tatis Jr., who's the same age. They grew up together. Their dads played in the major leagues. It was fun. You had Pete Alonso from a big market with the Mets winning home run derby again. I think Major League Baseball has a lot to build on here. They're going to take away the seven inning doubleheaders next year and get rid of we're going to put a guy on second base to start extra innings. Those are just some of the things that the commissioner has talked about. They did this during the pandemic. I get it. Now we move on. What's the next step for Major League Baseball? And really, I think it's important for the legacy of this commissioner. How are you growing the game? It seems like everybody's still making money. Players are still getting paid great salaries here. I don't know how the All-Star ratings were, but if you go back when we were growing up, it was a big deal. There were a lot of people watching. Well, there weren't as many options to be watching something else. We had three channels. Of course you were watching it. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have social media. I mean, nowadays, what you're getting, I mean, you might get, you know, six million people watching the All-Star game, maybe 7 million. I don't know what the numbers were from last night. We'll wait to see the overnights, but Major League Baseball has some positives here. You got good teams in big markets. That's important as well. But for the most part, I think Major League Baseball has had a pretty good week. We're going to talk to Shohei Ohtani's manager, Joe Maddon. He'll join us coming up here in a little bit, next hour. And who else do we have on the show?
Russ Wilson.
Oh, that's right. Russell Wilson Jr. III is going to join us. That'll be a little bit the return of Russell Wilson Jr. III, because it's been a while since we talked to Russ. I think it was February 9th that we had him on. And Russ, I thought, was un-Russ-like. Now, I don't know if he's returned to the old Russ, where he doesn't really say much. He's, you know, very nice during the interviews. Back then, it felt like he had something he wanted to get off his chest, and he did exactly that. He got it off his chest of his displeasure with sort of his status within the Seattle Seahawks organization, and that story exploded. I'm curious, how long after the interview did he hear from the Seattle Seahawks? Because I'm guessing it didn't take long for them to go, Russ, what's going on? And I don't know if Russ, at the end of that conversation with Pete Carroll or John Schneider, said, go Hogs. But he'll join us coming up in the final hour of the show. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. We have game four. Used to be pivotal game five. I'm going to say it's a pivotal game four, because if the Suns win this game, then they're going to win this series. If Milwaukee wins, then maybe we're headed to a seven-game series. I had people saying it was going to be a sweep after the first two games. A lot of media people. Milwaukee has no answer for Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Now, Phoenix has no answer for the Greek Freak. How are they going to stop Giannis? We're so flip-floppy, you know. It just, remember USA basketball. Oh, my God, they're not going to win the gold medal. It's a disaster. And then they win last night. Nobody's going to talk about it. They beat a really good team in Argentina. If all the problems were there with Nigeria and Australia, were they there last night? Do they have any team unity, chemistry? Do they move the ball? I don't know. I watched the game last night. Looked pretty easy for Team USA. It's still not formed. That's not the team we're going to see in Tokyo. But we, the United States, should not lose to Nigeria, even in a friendly, in an exhibition game. We should not. Australia, I get Australia. These guys who played together, pretty good team. got some NBA players, and they're not intimidated by Team USA. Intimidation used to play a really large part in Olympic basketball because this was a team that could walk in and all of a sudden you're playing for silver or bronze because Team USA is going to win. Now, you know, the rest of the world has seen everybody. Yes, we have better players. But I think that you could probably get a team. If I said to LeBron, hey, can you kind of drum up some all-stars to play with you? Can you give me an all-NBA team? Can you give me Steph Curry to join you? Let's see. Who else would he get? Chris Paul is going to be on the team, I believe, is on the Olympic team. Devin Booker. Yes, McLovin.
I thought he might have opted out. Well, he was on the team, and then he said, I think I'm going to pass, but I'll double-check that.
All right, but if I said to LeBron, how about you come up with a team here? Anthony Davis, assuming he's going to be healthy. Zion? How did Zion not make this team?
Or Julius Randle.
Julius Randle's fine. But Kevin Love should not be on the Olympic team. Nice guy should not be on the Olympic team. This is where a younger player like Zion or Julius Randle should have been on that team. And look, we like Kevin Love. He's not an Olympian. It's not personal. It's just a fact. He should not be on that team. Now, are they going to win with him? Yes, they'll win with him. Can they win without him? Yeah, they could win without him. But if I said, okay, LeBron, you get Jimmy Butler, you get Paul George, you get Kyrie Irving, Steph Curry, James Harden, and Anthony Davis. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you want James Harden? Sorry, I'm just going to say, you have five all-NBA players. Well, I don't want one guy with the left hand shooting all the shots.
I don't. You know what? I've come around a little bit on James Harden. I thought he showed me more with the Nets with his ability to be a distributor and not ball dominant.
But he seems to have this Game 7 mental
block. That, I just got to keep him out of a Game 7. That's it. We got to end every series in six games. I can't get him to a seventh game because he usually doesn't go well. Yes, Paulie.
Maybe LeBron could find his own country and just buy it and then start it, have his own team.
Mm.
He's got that kind of dough. Mm. Like Malta. That seems like a fun country. Isn't it an island or something?
Malta. It's
near Italy?
Yeah, the island of Malta.
You get a bunch of those guys over in Malta, they'll crush.
Here's Chris Paul on how the Suns will respond in tonight's Game 4.
Everybody on our team took the loss hard, as we should. You know, we never go into a game expecting to lose. You know, if you show me somebody who expects to lose, I'll show you a loser. We use yesterday, we'll use today to prepare, and we'll all come out ready to play tomorrow.
All right. Here is the other thing that I found interesting. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Suns, didn't want to talk about the free throw disparity in Game 3. But he did talk about the free throw disparity while not wanting to talk about the free throw disparity. And then he was questioned about talking about and not talking about the free throw disparity.
After last game, you said you didn't want to complain about the fouls, but then you kind of did the next sentence. I'm curious, the reason for doing
that. Is that a jab or
No, I'm just curious. The reason for bringing that up at a press conference is what?
Well, somebody asked me the question, how can I help DA? So I answered it. And then the free throw disparity is what it is. So that's what I did. They had one player with 17 free throws. We had 16. That's not complaining. That's stating facts.
DA is DeAndre Ayton. Looking back on Game 3, Milwaukee was aggressive. They got shots, near the hoop. And this is what the Greek Freak does. He can put you in foul trouble if he gets to the hoop. So I'm not surprised. You can say there's a free throw disparity and the Greek Freak is your go-to guy, had the ball, and he's going inside, and he got fouled. So I don't have any problem with that. And if Monty went, this is gamesmanship. Phil Jackson used to do this all the time. Don't want to talk about free throw disparity here while I'm talking about the free throw disparity. All this is just, one of those. Let me give a little jab, a little nudge to the NBA and the officials. I don't know if the officials go, oh, my God, did you hear what Monty Williams said? We got to help him out in Game 4. I don't know if that really matters. I think it's how you play. Now, sometimes it's who's reffing and what they give you and what they don't. Here's another thing to keep an eye out on with the Olympic basketball team. these officials aren't going to be giving these stars the calls that they normally get when they're playing in the NBA. There were times where in the game against Australia where some of the marquee guys were going, wait, you're not going to give me that foul? No, play on, guys. That was interesting to see that these officials are like, you know what? There's no star status here. We're going to basically call an NBA game here. Yeah, McLevin.
The Olympics can't set up a thing where it's all the foreign players against the U.S., right? Like, that would be amazing.
Well, I don't know if you can have the world against the United States in the Olympics.
That would be. Would you like that as an all-star format,
sure,
as Reggie brought up the other day?
Well, no. Michael Wilbon brought it up, and I think it would be great. The all-star game with Team USA versus the world? Absolutely. For an all-star game? Absolutely. Yeah, Paul.
You can't do like Trinidad and Tobago and Brazil and France. You can't just tack on a
few
more.
It's not fair that Trinidad and it's Tobago.
Yeah.
Like Trinidad should be facing, you know, somebody, and then Tobago should
also be. Tobago is carrying that thing, and it's second.
Mm.
Should be first.
Mm. Tobago and Trinidad?
Yep.
Mm. All right, 877-3DP show, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Joe Maddon, the Angels manager, next hour. Russell Wilson Jr., third. The third in the final hour. Kawhi Leonard had knee surgery. He's going to be a free agent. I'm going to talk about this because this is a big deal. It's a lot bigger deal than people will play this up, in my opinion, because the start of next season is right around the corner. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice, and you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Once again, Russell Wilson, the return of Russell Wilson. Last time we spoke, February 9th, and all hell broke loose. So Russ will be back with us in an hour from now. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales service financial support crew. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. It wasn't that long ago that our next guest was known as a World Series winning manager. He's got a new title. He's Shohei Ohtani's manager. He's Joe Maddon, who joins us on the show. How's that feel? Is that an official title, Joe?
I'll take it. It's been a lot of fun. You saw him during the All-Star weekend, or a week, 2 days. He's all of that. He's just a wonderful young man. He's very humble. He came across perfectly, and probably the best talent possibly that's ever played the game.
Who would you compare him to?
You know, I've been asked that, and everybody goes all over the map. And, you know, obviously the Babe Ruth comparisons, we never knew what the Babe actually looked or played like. We just see those little legs running around the bases a lot. But I would say it's more like a Bo Jackson for me, just to be able to dominate. Bo dominated once both sports, but Shohei dominating both sides of the ball in our game is so different. And it's going to happen again. I don't know to this level, but some kid's going to come along to try to do and probably accomplish it. Even Lorenzo from Cincinnati, that kid's pretty good too. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's out of Cal State Fullerton. He's pretty good hitter also. But anyway, it's going to be a while, but I'd say Bo regarding the dominance like on both sides of the ball and what a great athlete that he actually is.
When we were growing up, chances are your best player, your best hitter was the pitcher.
Right.
But at what point did we go, okay, you can't do both. You can't be a pitcher and a hitter.
I think, of course, you did it in Little League. I did it in Teeners League ball myself. I did it in American Legion ball. When you get to college, I actually started out as a pitcher, and I stopped pitching because I couldn't hit anymore. So I became a catcher. But I think by the time you get to college, they make you make that choice. I think up to that point, a lot of guys are able to do both. You don't play as long of a season. The competition is different. The stresses on what you do in your body is different. Training, all these different, that's the specialization that's necessary to dominate as a pitcher or as a hitter is different. So I think you could get away with it probably through college at some point, but by the time you get to professional ball, it really, really causes you to focus on one or the other, except if you have this kind of talent like Shohei does.
What did you discuss with him about competing in the Home Run Derby? That guys will talk about you kind of screw up your swing and just the amount of energy that it takes to be in that?
Yeah, I did. And here's the thing. We put all these parameters on everybody anymore. Everybody tries to put it in somebody's head what you can and cannot do. And I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I don't even know who came up with that in the first place. It's an easy narrative. It's easy to defend in a sense. And it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I'm not going to deny the fact that I wanted him to win, but I wasn't upset that he didn't win. It was out up to the first round. But all this stuff, I think we in charge, these people in charge these days, we attempt to get in the way of greatness of a lot of athletes by putting restrictor plates on all of them. And I don't like to do that. This guy is a great athlete. He signed up to do this. He signed up to do both. So why would we restrict him from doing both? And on top of that, he wants to. I mean, there's times you have to push players to do certain things or ask them to do certain things. Shohei's wanted to do this from the beginning. So never get in the way of a player's greatness and stop talking about getting hurt all the time. We put this in people's heads and all of a sudden it becomes a self-fulfilled prophecy.
I just wonder about being too cautious with today's athlete because, Joe, we grew up guys completed games. Bob Gibson, Sandy Koufax, Juan Marichal, go down the list. You know, that was the badge of courage. I want to complete a game. I look back on Jabba Chamberlain. I think the Yankees over pampered him. And I don't think he ever could ever get out of a tough situation, because whenever he got into one, they take him out. So how do you have that let me let you walk and fall on your own?
All of the above. You're right. A part of it has to do with money and agents and all these different, you want to try to extend your shelf life to make more money over a period of time. I think that's part of the narrative. But then again, if that were the case, why is everybody still getting hurt? All these new different training methods and diet, which, listen, I'm all into all of that stuff. We could go overboard with everything. Diminishing return sits in with almost everything we do in our life at a certain point. And you go overboard, you become an extremist in all these different areas. And I'm not into it. I do love balance. I think balance is necessary. You should have a McDonald's, a Big Mac at some point. And of course, you can eat properly for the next week or 10 days. Balance this whole thing out. Don't be an extremist. And I think that's what we've become with everything that we're doing. We're extreme. And I think there is a middle road. I believe in the gray area of everything. And when you experience both sides, I think you turn out to be a better human being, actually. I'm into liberal arts. I'm into the liberal arts method of teaching baseball. And I think we become polarized with all of this, and I don't think it's healthy. So I agree with you. I think if given the opportunity, a lot of these players, if you're talking about pitchers, would be able to pitch more deeply in the games, and it needs to start in the minor leagues. And just to cut it off here, but when I was managing in 82 in Salem, Oregon, Kirk McCaskill was one of my pitchers. And he pitched a 9-inning complete game shutout, giving up 2 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts against the Medford A's. Wow, that would never even occur today. a minor league manager would lose his job if he even attempted to permit a pitcher to do something like that.
He's Joe Maddon, the Angels manager, 3-time baseball manager of the year, 2-time World Series champ. Given Stephen A. Smith's comments on Shohei Ohtani and the language barrier, how much pressure does Shohei feel to be able to speak English comfortably?
I don't think he feels pressure. I think he's learning. It's like if you're in a situation, I speak some Spanish, right? And on occasion, the Spanish reporters will ask me to do something in Spanish. It's a very unnerving situation. And you try and you concentrate and you focus. You don't want to make a fool out of yourself. It becomes embarrassing. So but if you're fluent in that language, obviously it's much easier to do. My point is, as Shohei learns more, which he is, and believe me, he communicates with us. He says a lot of different things in English, but if you put a microphone in front of somebody, until you become pretty comfortable with that, you don't even want to go there because you don't want to screw up. You don't want to be interpreted in the wrong way. That's all that is. Because Shohei does a great job with this. Ipe's interpreter, who we also love, is outstanding. So give him time. It's like anything else. Give him time. We're just in a different culture, in a different environment. You go to Japan and learn the language that quickly and speak it fluently during an interview. Not an easy thing to do. I can't even imagine that. So give him time. He's a very bright young man. He's engaging. He wants to learn, and he will. I promise you he will. But it's just a process, man, like everything else.
What was that meeting phone call like when you had to tell Albert Pujols that you were letting him go?
I didn't. I wasn't a part of that, actually. I spoke with Albert that night before that game. He was upset that he wasn't in that lineup and I couldn't tell him everything that was going on that I knew was going on later on that night. That was John Carpino and Perry Manassian, our GM. They're the guys that spoke to him about it. And so since then, I really haven't spoken to Albert. I know he was upset leaving, and I understand that completely, and I don't blame him. However, it's worked out wonderfully for him and wonderfully for us. It was the right thing to do for everybody involved. And sometimes it takes a little time for people to realize or understand that. Wish him. I thought it was great, too, that he was able to stay in Los Angeles, didn't have to pick up and leave. Family was not uprooted. All those kind of things that that makes it difficult. So it's a win-win, absolutely, for everybody involved. And we're going to see him again. He's going to play well against us. I absolutely believe that. And I think it's great. I think it's great for baseball. So win-win.
The rule changes. The commissioner said we're going to take away the 7-inning doubleheaders and not going to put a runner on second base next season. What do you think of those decisions?
Well, first of all, the runner at second base has been a thorn the whole time. To expedite our game just for the sake of expedition, I don't understand that. I don't get it. And this is one of those things. Our game is based or heaped in tradition. Why do you want to subtract? Everybody wants to take tradition out of everything anymore either. You just don't want to microwave. Everybody wants to microwave everything. Let the game be played. Yeah, there's going to be some really uncomfortable nights that stink, when you have to stay there 17 innings and lose, possibly. Horrible method, horrible moment. But that's how this thing is done. So let's do that again. And that's part of what's happening. Front offices are really freaked out about this stuff, because then you have to use pitchers more than you would like to, or you have to shuttle guys between AAA back to the big leagues to boast to yourself for the next day. Those are the problems. That's what the real issue is here. It's not about the game itself. And as a kid, I loved extra innings. If the game was beginning to be played a little bit more or longer, I would love that. I understand their school and I understand their work. I get all that stuff, but that's what the game is. So, A, I'd love to see that go away. The seven-inning doubleheader is interesting. I'm good with going back to nine, but I really would hope that they don't go day-night. That's the part that really is the kicker. I understand the gate. I understand it's probably not going to go away. But if you want to make it palatable to all of us, play 2 9-inning games that have them concurrent. Game over, half hour later, game two. That would be the better
way. That's the way it used to be when we were
right, yeah.
Growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's better for everybody.
You know, when it comes to what the game is now and the strategy now, can you see somebody being counterintuitive? You know, like Whitey Herzog's St. Louis Cardinal team. Could you build a team on speed, defense, putting the ball in play, and still having a good pitching staff? Is somebody going to come along and go, we can't compete with big markets and getting sluggers, we're going to do this?
I think sluggers are going to be part of it. I still do. I don't think that's going to go away. What Whitey did there, I'm a big Whitey guy. Whitey worked for the Angels for a bit, and that's where I got to know him. I thought he was brilliant. I've always said I'd like to have it all. Why can't you have a couple sluggers? You know, George Hendrick was on that team, my buddy, because he was on those particular teams. Jackie Clark stepped in there. They had some pop, but they're able to really listen. When you were or you're preparing a game in the other dugout, you know that other team could fly and they're going to put pressure on you on defense all the time. That's an unsettling feeling. That's worse to me in the dugout than the team that has two or three guys that may take you deep. I think you could mitigate that a lot more easily than the team that's constantly putting pressure on you that bothers everybody on the field. I love that style, and I would like for the Angels to be that style. My theme for this year, play it like it's 1985. I got this cool little shirt made up about it. The point would be to play the game more completely, as opposed to, again, walk, strikeout, homer, et cetera. So I think it could all be done. I really do, and I think it comes down to drafting. We just went through the draft. I know we took pitchers, which is absolutely necessary, but I even talked to Theo. I've seen a couple years ago, and they went to 40 rounds, and I asked them, why wouldn't you take the rounds 30 to 40, just speed guys, just guys that could absolutely fly, and see if you could build them from there. And even if you hit on one a year, my goodness, after 4 years, you've got four guys that could fly. And it's kind of tantamount to what the Kansas City Royals Baseball Academy used to be like in the 70s, which I still think was a brilliant idea. Yeah. And that would be something cool to come on back to, but you have to draft and build and nurture this kind of pattern if that's what you want to see. And I'd love to see that.
But you know what that pressure was like when Ricky Henderson would get on first base, Willie McGee. I mean, it changed the atmosphere of a game, it felt like. And I know you can have a bomb and somebody can hit it 450 feet. There was something unnerving about somebody on first base. That was that slow water torture, and it gets into the pitcher and then the catcher and then the manager, everybody. I don't know. I miss that element there. And I don't know if that comes back, that, you know, the stolen base.
No, you're right. 100%. And I'll tell you where it went away. It went away because of analytics. That's why it went away. And that's another part of the game we could talk about for another hour, where I am an advocate, but I'm telling you, analytics has really kind of squashed the stolen base. Because, and I'll just be quite frank with you, when a guy would get thrown out on the bases on a steal attempt, I promise you, post game, somebody from the front office would come down and talk to the manager about what happened there. You know, we don't want to make outs on the bases. And then the manager has to go talk to the coach, who then has to go talk to the player. I mean, by the time that all gets done, these guys lose their aggressiveness, their assertiveness. And you have to be all of that in order to be a great base stealer. So there's a lot of stuff that's gone away based on a trickle down from analytics from the front office down to the field.
Give me your favorite minor league managing lifestyle story.
Wow. I'll tell you what I loved. I love the road. I love to ride on a bus, weirdly, and I drive one now. Jay, my wife's right here with me right now. We have a 45-foot Winnebago Grand Tour RV. I love the road.
You're in the Winnebago now?
No, that's parked somewhere here. We're actually in a hotel room.
Oh, okay.
We're in here. Since I got my kids and my grandkids are here. But as a manager, you sit in the first seat, right? First seat up in the front of the bus, right on the right side. And as you asked that question, I could see myself in the Texas League. Now, the Texas League, I was in Midland, Texas. In your division, you'd have to go to El Paso, like 6.5-7 hours, or Beaumont, 11 hours, or San Antonio, I think was 8, or sometimes Jackson, Mississippi, or Little Rock, Arkansas. That's 10 plus. But I'd sit in that front seat, and at that time, you had the little cassette player with the fuzzy headphones you put on your head, and you'd bring a pillow and a blanket, you'd wrap yourself up, and I'd bring a book. I was a voracious reader, and I loved it. You'd turn the AC way down and you'd freeze in that front seat and you'd have to sleep and you'd wake up and you go to some kind of truck stop in the middle of the night, grab some food and get back on. And I promise you, I left Yankee Stadium a couple of weeks ago. We won a pretty tough game, like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, walking out to the bus. And I look up and I said, thank you. I still have that opportunity to relive those moments that I had as a young manager coming up, which if you want to romanticize, which I tend to do, that's it. And that's the part about the minor leagues that I really did enjoy. Weirdly, I was in some leagues that had tremendously long bus rides.
But you didn't have a Bull Durham moment, did you?
When I was in Boulder, Colorado. We did that before he did that.
What'd you do?
Me and Stan Jakubowski and Rod Boxberger, who's the dad of Brad Boxberger, were in charge of the Colorado University baseball field where the Boulder Collegians played. And Baldy Muschietti was the owner of that team. And Baldy was the guy that got me my break. Anyway, we were in charge of the field. So I said, Stanley, he's not giving me any days off. I don't want to play. I'm the catcher. And we're playing I'm catching back-to-back-to-back doubleheaders. So I had enough. I said, we're going to flood the field. We did. We went out that day. And the night before, you put those things on the sprinklers. We have to crank it a little bit. And then the boom, 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 boom. And we left it on all night. And we get there the next day, and Baldy shows up. Hey, what's happened here? Damn, Baldy, I don't know. The sprinklers got stuck. Well, we got a game tonight. He said, I don't think we can get that. Baldy brings in a helicopter, to get all the water off the field. And then me and Stashu and Boxy had to go out there, rake the infield, go buy some gasoline, and burn it. So the infield's ready to, by the end of that, I have to catch that night anyway. So we went through the whole process. And I think that was 1975. So that was pre-Bull Durham, man.
Susan Sarandon wasn't waiting for you, was she?
No. No, she was not. Pshaw, as they said.
Joe, great to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us. Good luck the second half of the season.
Always a pleasure to be with you, man. Thank you.
That's Joe Maddon, Angels manager, Shohei Ohtani's manager, but also a 3-time baseball manager of the year and 2-time World Series champ. We'll take a break. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly, but it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I mentioned this earlier in the show. Well, I've been mentioning this for years, that I wanted the NFL Films to go back and tabulate all the sacks from the players who played prior to 1982 when sacks became an official stat. Well, Pro Football Reference did that, and from 1964 to 1969, Deacon Jones led the NFL in sacks 5 times. A total of 115.5 sacks in that time period. And I wanted to know how many times did quarterbacks drop back and pass? So the ratio of sacks to dropbacks, it's got to be completely different than what you have now. You're dropping back 30, 40 times a game. Deacon Jones averaged one sack every 23 times the opposing quarterback dropped back to pass. By comparison, Michael Strahan's record season in 2001, where he had 22.5 sacks, he averaged one sack every 25 times quarterbacks dropped back to pass. So unofficially, Deacon Jones' 6-season run was better than the best official single-season sack record of all time. Another comparison, T.J. Watt led the NFL with 15 sacks last year, one sack every 38 times a quarterback dropped back to pass. Now, these are unofficial stats, but at least they have tabulated some of these, got them up to date with Deacon Jones, Jack Youngblood. There are a lot of great, Alan Page, a lot of great pass rushers, and I think that they were held to a different standard, or we forgot about them. And you had the opportunity to be able to go back and tabulate these sack totals. And they should be up to date, because you can't say 1982 is when it officially started. It shouldn't be. All right, Russell Wilson Jr. III, we talked to him yesterday after the show, and he joined us courtesy of Bose, and here's how we started the interview. Okay, February 9th, you join us after the Super Bowl. I'm watching the Super Bowl, and I thought you looked miserable. And then I realized you're probably going, wait a minute, why am I not playing in a Super Bowl? Then we had the interview a couple of days later, February 9th. When you hung up the phone with me that day, what was the rest of the day like, the reaction to what you said?
Well, the rest of the day, you know, started off with, I had all the Man of the Year interviews to do. So that's really why we had, you know, the interview with you, and the NFL had set that up and all that. And then the rest of the day got interesting. I would say the next day got interesting more so than anything else. But anyways, I think that anytime you're not playing, you want to be playing in that game. You know, this is why, yeah, I've been fortunate to play in it twice, win one of them, and you want to get back and do everything you can to get back. And that's what our team's trying to do here. And we're excited about the team that we have and where we're headed. So we got a chance.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's go back, though. That, do you hear from Man? How long does it take before the Seahawks call you after the interview with me?
It was, I don't know, maybe a couple hours probably.
Okay, just so you know, I didn't plan on bringing this up. I sort of stumbled onto it because I just wanted to know why you didn't look like you were having a good time. And then it felt like you wanted or welcomed the opportunity to get this off your chest. Is that fair?
No, I think that more than anything else, you know, like I said, we had all the Man of the Year stuff that we had to do. And I think more than anything else, we just had a dialogue, a conversation, and yeah, I think it definitely blew out of proportion in terms of the moment and what it became. It was a little unfortunate, but I think more than anything else, you know what I care about? I care about winning. You know, that's what I want to do. So I just put my cleats on every day, and that's always been my focus. That's always been my goal, you know, is to win it all and to continue to do that and try to do everything we can. So, it's been a great offseason. My teammates and I, we've spent a lot of great time getting the work in, spending the time together. And we're excited about getting back the ball and playing, you know, and fans.
Is your relationship different with the Seahawks?
I would say it's stronger. I mean, I think me and Pete have gotten even closer. Okay. I mean, we've always been super close. So, you know, Pete and I, we've always had a great bond. But I think, you know, we got to have a great heart-to-heart. And just, you know, he's got goals. I have goals. You know, we want to do great things, you know. So to actually, you know, really dive into those and really talk about, you know, those missions, those goals, it was fun. So, I think, you know, me and Coach Carroll's relationship is stronger than ever. And I think that's the best part about it. And also my teammates, you know, we're pumped about the season and getting back to playing ball and snapping the ball and scoring touchdowns and winning games.
Did you ever think you were going to be traded in the offseason?
I think that any time in sports, there's a potential of being traded. You know, I think there's always a real opportunity of that. But, I think that, you know, I've always wanted to be in Seattle. I've always loved being there. And it's a place that I've always wanted to play. So it's been great.
And how glad were you that the Aaron Rodgers topic then took over and kind of put you on the back burner?
How what?
No, when Aaron Rodgers, all that talk came up, you know, they stopped talking about you and what was going on in Seattle. It was like everybody was, you know, then curious about what was going on with Aaron Rodgers. Was
that? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on up there. It's not really any of my business, but, you know.
Wait, you're not following what's going on with it. How can you possibly not follow what's going on with Aaron Rodgers?
I'm not saying you don't watch it. Obviously, it's interesting. It's interesting situation up there. But you know, I don't have any intel on that. You know what I mean with Aaron. You know, I think that, you know, obviously he's a great player, one of the best to ever played the game at that position. You know, in this position. So, you know, anytime that's going on, it's always kind of hectic and confusing, and it makes it difficult for everyone. But I think that obviously he's been such a tremendous quarterback his whole career.
Russell Wilson, the Seahawks quarterback, joining us on the show. Any benefit upside to 17-game regular season?
I don't know. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of weird because now you have 8 home games and 9 away games. So it's kind of interesting. You know, I think that, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, the NFL will obviously be able to broadcast a whole nother game. You know, I would say the biggest, you know, kind of interesting thing is that with the playoffs, you know, you don't have that extra week if you're a first seed or second seed or whatever it is. I believe that's right. So, you know, I think that that's kind of a new interesting thing. So, it, you know, it puts more pressure on the body. Physically, the game is such a physical game, you know. But, I love playing, you know. So any time we get to strap up the cleats and play, that's my favorite thing. So I don't mind the 17 thing, but I think it is definitely an interesting dynamic with the playoffs and all that. That's more of a challenge for sure.
I wonder about load management, Russ, for certain players. Do you think we'll have that in the NFL?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you'll have that in the NFL. I mean, I think you kind of have that with certain guys who get injured or dinged up, but for I think your guys who are healthy and your premier players, I'm assuming you're talking about like the NBA out. They kind of hold guys out for this and the game. Yeah. So, I don't think that will happen in the NFL, at least at this stage, because, every game in the NFL, it matters so much. It counts so much against the record and playoffs, standings and this and that, right? So, NBA, they play so many games, that it is a little bit less of a factor. It's kind of like Major League Baseball, right? You play 162 games in 180-plus days, whatever it is. So guys can catch a break for a second and come back and be stronger the next day. Well, football, I'm playing dinged up. I'm playing beat up. You got to do what you got to do, And ultimately, you want to be on the field. You want to be available. And the guys that can be consistent and available, be professional, be ready to play, dominate the game every moment they step on the field, be a true factor. I think that those are the guys who are game changers and true factors to the game and making a difference. And so you need all those guys, And I got a guy like Dwayne Brown who's one of the best left tackles in the game. He makes a difference when he's in there for me. So I love it when he's out there blocking for me. You always want to have those guys. You got like a DK Metcalf or Ty Lockett. Those guys aren't gonna sit out because another game.
How would you have done in the home run derby?
I wouldn't have done what DK did in the All-Star game. I think it would have been fun. I know that watching Trey Mancini hit those home runs last night was amazing. Alonzo obviously too, but just thinking about Trey Mancini, having cancer, a year and a couple months ago, and now being, once again an All-Star and being the player that he is, and then being the home run derby coming in second. I mean, that's the story. That was amazing. And I don't know if the sports world's honoring that enough of what Trey Mancini's been able to do.
But imagine if I said every five games you have to play defensive back and play quarterback the rest of the time. Like, Ohtani pitches every fifth game, but he's playing every day. Do you think you could do double duty like Ohtani's doing?
Oh man, I don't know. These receivers are pretty talented out there, man. I used to play cornerback in the day in high school. I was a good corner in high school, but these guys out here running these routes are pretty spectacular. But what Ohtani's doing is crazy to see, because he's not just doing it at the pro level or anything else. He's doing it at the highest level possible, and he's doing it better than everybody else too. I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour, 98 miles an hour consistently, whatever he's throwing, and has all the pitches and everything else striking everybody out. But he's also got this, the power that he's hitting the ball with and the poise that he hits it with. I mean, what's amazing is watching his stance and how poised he is, and how, when that ball comes, when the ball's pitched, you feel like every swing is going to be the right swing. Yeah. You feel like he's going to crush it. So it's been amazing watching his success and another story that needs to be talked about and told more.
What are you doing with Bose?
Yeah, super pumped, obviously, to be with Bose. I've been with Bose pretty much my whole career, and it's been amazing, just my relationship with them. Because, as you know, Dan, the music is in my family, obviously with Sierra, and we're always jamming out, always listening to music. So yeah. It's just an organic, thing for our family and our kids constantly moving around and all the things we do. So, but yeah, I'm actually right now, I'm in Texas right now, in Dallas. I'm here for a Bose shoot commercial, and it's been cool because we have these new Quiet Comfort earbuds, and I'm constantly on the go, as you know. So I'm actually using them right now since talking to you. So it's always good to have those in my ear as I'm working out, training. I've been training like crazy. I have a new trainer, Tim Grover, who and so we're constantly moving and shaking and making, and so it's one of those things that it's perfect for me. And I can take any call. I can train in them. I can I love hopping on the Peloton late in the afternoon, two at night, you know, so I, you know, it just, if I have a call, you know, I throw the earbuds in my ear. So it's been a great relationship. So we're shooting a commercial today. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. I'm excited for it. We're at some high school right now and, about to shoot this thing. So I'm going back to my high school days.
And you know, you made no headlines today, so you're good. You're not going to hear from management. You're not going to make SportsCenter today. So the old Russ is back. The old Russell Wilson's back. No trouble. Nothing to see here. Just move on, right?
Yeah, man. Listen, man, I'm excited for this.
It's good. I got it. The old Russ is back. There's no more controversy there. Great to talk to you as always. Safe travels, and thanks for joining us.
Okay, I'll see you later, Dan. I'll talk to you soon.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.